chapter 5. Four different ladies reported comments that their kids made, four different situations. The one said, "My son is 3.5 years old, and he's a very nice, kind boy. Still, early one morning while we're in bed, he starts poking me in the eye. I said, 'What are you doing?' He says, 'Mommy, I want you to be a pirate.'" Arr. Just like all mothers out there, I'm trying to control and to cut down the amount of sweets my 4-year-old eats. Caught him eating some without permission recently. I ask him, "Who gave you these? Why did you take them?" And the little one answers, "Because I have hands." Mm-hmm. Wasn't my fault, it was my hands. Last year we were harvesting potatoes at my mom's. My son was gradually losing interest, finally sat down and made his "I'm thinking" face. I came up to him and asked what the matter was. Quite irritated, he said, "These potatoes. First we plant potatoes, next we come back to the same place and dig them up again. I just don't get it." Yesterday, my daughter, her 2-year-old friend, and a boy who was just 1 year older were playing in the sandbox. The guy was trying to take the girl's toys, but was stopped by his mother. "Max, those are not your toys." "No, they're mine." "No, they belong to the girls." Max, without batting an eye, said, "They're my girls." We were speechless. So much of life, like raising kids, is off script. You never expected to hear that from them. You never thought they would do something like that. It catches you totally off guard, and that's life. You can study, you can prepare, you think you're ready for every situation, you take some witnessing courses, you know every question somebody could possibly ask. And sure enough, you go to work and you try, and all of a sudden they say something you never heard before. It kind of throws you for a loop. The best thing we can do is just try to be flexible. Yeah, be ready to zig, be ready to zag. The fellow that is in today's text, I think, was caught off guard by what Jesus was asking him. But it turned out really well on his behalf. John chapter 5, verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Father, I think we could say with pretty good authority, we all need help today. Some more than others. And some of us have loved ones who need significant help. And there is this waiting by the pool, or waiting in the doctor's office, or waiting in the ER. We wait, we wait, we wait, and there's this hope that something's going to happen and things are going to be better. And very often, we go home disappointed. But Lord, we know that you're even in the disappointment. You're working and you're bringing about patience and endurance. But there comes a day of healing. We pray that day would be today for many of our loved ones. But if not, we pray that you poke a little hole through heaven and let that ray of sunshine come down on their spirit, on their soul. Warm them, God. Remind them that you are watching, that you care, that you love, and that you're working for and in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is back in Jerusalem. In fact, it says he went up to Jerusalem. If you've been following the last couple of weeks, we've watched Jesus move around. He was there in Judea, ministering along with his disciples, and they were baptizing more people than John the Baptist's disciples were baptizing. The Pharisees made a big deal out of that. So Jesus took his boys back up into Galilee. In order to get there, he went through Samaria and met the woman at the well there at Sychar, spent a couple of days ministering there, and then went on up into the land of Galilee, back to the city of Cana, where a fella from Capernaum came down and said, "My son is sick. He's just about dead. Can you come and help him, please?" And Jesus said, "You can go home. Everything's fine. He's going to be all right." And the man took him at his word and departed. Now it says that Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And you notice on our map there, he's coming down from the north. Jerusalem is in the south. How does it say that he's coming up? In Bible speak, Jerusalem is always up. Wherever you're coming from, you're going up to Jerusalem. And wherever you're going to, you're going down to. So you're coming up from Galilee, you're coming up from Egypt, you're coming up from Saudi Arabia, and you're going down to them as well. North, south, east, west, doesn't matter. You want to get to Jerusalem. That's the goal of it all. It's the pinnacle of life, pinnacle of the world as far as the Bible geography is concerned. So that can you can add that to your Bible study thoughts, and it can help you to discern what they're talking about in some ways. He's back in Jerusalem for a feast. There in one part of the city is a pool, where a lot of people used to gather. There were a couple of covered porches, and a lot of folk would come together. The most likely explanation of what this thing was about is it was most likely an intermittent mineral-rich spring. So this thing would bubble up from time to time, probably hot water, full of rich minerals. And if you were sitting in the tub there soaking, when this disturbance would come by, you would get a whirlpool effect to it all. It's like sitting in a hot tub. Several times a day, this water would bubble up, and whoever could take advantage of it would enjoy the soothing nature of the water and the minerals all mixing around. Hot Springs, Arkansas got its name because of its hot springs. And people will go there, spend good money to sit in hot mud or in some water and just take in some therapy and enjoy the feeling they get while they're in that atmosphere. If you've ever sat in a whirlpool or a hot tub, you know what we're talking about this morning. Now, somewhere in time, somebody added to the text. So in your particular translation, it might say an angel would come down and disturb the water every once in a while, and whoever stepped into it would be healed. That's not in the earliest manuscripts. Some scribe got a little bit enthusiastic about it, thought he'd add a little bit of explanation, but went beyond what the text is saying. So the best explanation for this place is you can imagine that there's a covered area where people can go and recline, and every once in a while this mineral water bubbles up. And as soon as it did, everybody would rush down to get into the hot tub and enjoy the soothing nature of it all. It wasn't healing, but it was therapy. Healing's better than therapy, right? But if you can't get healing, therapy can be a welcome relief for a little bit of time and help you to feel some better. To have the constant stress of pain, to have the constant stress of misery, is just overwhelming. And so many people, it just breaks them totally. When you or I, healthy people, get sick, we look forward to feeling better again. But there are some folk who will never have that feeling. They are in the condition that they're in. And if anything, it might even get worse. So they're looking for a little bit of therapy here. You might picture yourself, if you've ever been in an ER, and you're waiting for your call so you can go. Or if you've been to a rehab and they're backed up a little bit and your appointment was at 1 o'clock and it's already 2:30 and you don't know whether to leave or to hang in there for it all, they're waiting. You wonder if the little bit of relief that you're going to get is worth the stress of getting there and waiting and all of the goings on that are happening. And I can also imagine that these people got to know one another after a while. Day after day, they're waiting for an opportunity to get into this pool. And you might have had your sections, you know? You got your pushy section over here. They got in the pool all the time, and they're old Jumpy George. Every time I go to get into the pool, there Jumpy George gets in there at me. I don't know what George is doing here. If he's healthy enough to get to the pool that fast, he ought to be at work. And I think he's just goofing around. But people who really needed the help, they couldn't get into the pool fast enough. And the people who didn't need it so much, well, they're taking advantage of it. And all this stuff is going on. And as it is today, people will travel to enjoy that kind of therapy or that kind of a feeling. And the man that's here today that we meet in our text, he's not under the illusion that he's going to jump in the water and that he's going to be able to run home. He's just hoping to get a little bit of therapy so that he feels a little bit of relief for a short amount of time. Now, I don't know if you've ever stayed in a motel and you were looking forward to sitting in the hot tub a little bit. It was in the brochure. They've got a hot tub. Ah, that's going to feel so good. And so you get your swimsuit on, you got your towel and your robe, and you turn into the pool area, and there's somebody's camped out in the hot tub. Or maybe there's a whole family there, and maybe I'll just go see the vending machines. And, you were hoping to get there, but so you kind of feel, you guys, he was hoping to get in the hot tub, he's going to feel so good, and then there's Jumpy George, and his crazy cousin Larry's in there, and, you know, all this stuff's going on, and it was hoping for it to be good, but it actually turns out to be kind of a negative in the middle of it all. So you can picture this whole scene's going on. You got the crowd up in the loft area there. And it's not like it's Old Faithful where they know on the hour it's going to bubble over and there's going to be... nobody knows. Hey, it's bubbling! And so everyone just rushes down there to see if they can't take advantage of it. And you got this whole system that's going on. People are talking, trying to get, hey, what did your doctor have to say? And how are you doing it? Well, it got worse last night, you know, can't sleep. On and on the stories would go. But we're told in our text that Jesus learned that this particular fellow had been an invalid for 38 years, for a very long time. I thought, well, how did he figure that out? How did Jesus know that? We often think of Jesus as just discerning everything by the Holy Spirit, just kind of knew everything. But he was limited like we are while he was here. And I think he simply had a conversation, waded into the group of people who were having problems, and had a conversation with the fellow and found out that he'd been in this condition for a very long time. What's your story, pal? How'd you get here? And so the fellow proceeded to tell him. And then Jesus asked him a rather odd question. Do you want to get well? And how many would say, duh,
I don't want to get well.
In fact, I don't think that the guy really even heard what Jesus was asking. How many women would testify that your husband a time or two wasn't really paying attention when you were asking something and answered the wrong question with the wrong comment? I see no comment. That's wise, ladies. Do you want to get well? I think what the guy heard was, do you want some therapy? Do you want to get in the pool? Because what the guy said in response to him was, I don't have anybody to get me in the pool. Every time I try to get down there, Jumpy George is in there in the spot I was going to take, and then I can't. And if somebody, and there's other people who have people to help him, I don't have anybody to help me. And maybe he's thinking that maybe Jesus is volunteering. Hey, I've got a pigeon here who's going to help me get into the pool. This is great. Now you've heard my story. You seem to care about it. Are you going to help? Do you want to get well? I'm trying. I think one message that people who are suffering would like the rest of us to hear. See, the message just came through. Is I'm trying. Often people who are suffering feel a stress or a pressure to get better. They want to get better for their own sake. They'd much rather be well. But there's a lot of people expecting them to get better. They're praying for them, or they've been going to therapy, or they've been taking the medications, they had an operation. And people tend to be disappointed when somebody responds in a way that they're not getting better. Maybe they're even worse than before. People are disappointed in that. And then they feel guilty, they feel bad. They're making everybody sad because they're not doing better. And I think the message I'd love for everybody here is, I'm trying. I don't want to be in this condition. I don't want this to be the theme of my life. I've resisted for all I can. I've tried to do other. I've tried to push through. I've tried everything that they asked me to do. And yet, here I am. And a lot of times when somebody is trying, but it's not working, friends and loved ones tend to peel away from them. They can't come to the family outing. They can't get to the church social. They can't show up at the senior center. They can't do the things that they used to do. And we don't intend to, but slowly but surely we just kind of forget about them. Oh, maybe we pay a visit or two. Maybe we call them at the home. Maybe we send a card at Christmas time or whatever. But they're not in the flow. They're not in the mainstream any longer. And we can even get an attitude about, wow, well, I was expecting you to be there. I would have loved to have been there. I'm trying. Every time the water gets stirred, I'm trying, but something happens. Somebody else gets in the way, and I can't get there. And it would mean a lot to many people who are suffering just to stop and take a few moments. Look them in the eye and care. Slow down. And go at their pace for a little while. And try to have some understanding. Listen to their story. Even if it's for the 100th time. Because they need to communicate. They need to be touched. They need to be heard. Verse 8. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" Dude, what was I supposed to do? Jesus says, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And all of a sudden there's this surge. It's not in the water, but it's up the guy's spine and it's out through his limbs. He feels strong for the first time in forever. He's got muscle where there wasn't any muscle just a moment earlier. And he feels like he can stand. I can picture the guy jumping to his feet and rejoicing. And woohoo, look at this. This is wonderful. And just enjoying his newfound freedom. Suddenly all the pain and stiffness was gone. Strength surged in through his body. No more treatments necessary. I don't have to wait here any longer. I am free to go. Jesus had gotten the man's story, but the man didn't even know who Jesus was. He had done all the talking, I suppose. And the man picks up his mat and he's on his way, but he has no idea who Jesus was. This took place on a Sabbath, which is the Jewish holy day. And because he's carrying his mat around, the Sabbath police got really upset with him. "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." Isn't that interesting? Fella had been paralyzed. He's jumped up. He's rejoicing. And they're making an issue out of the fact he's carrying his mat. Did you miss the fact that he's dancing when he was paralyzed a little bit ago? How did you miss that? Now, we can condemn the Pharisees for this, but we all have that propensity. I got another aunt. And I love that commercial. You remember the commercial they did? We love our new house, but we have aunts. Yeah. And I digress. This is a different kind of aunt. I think you probably understood that. But here's a guy that's just been healed. He'd been paralyzed for 38 years, and now he can walk. And they're straining at gnats, swallowing camels, but you're carrying your mat. The fact that he can carry his mat should have made them rejoice instead of making them angry. We have to be careful in our judgments. We can feel so justified, we can feel so right, but we can miss what God is doing with a wrong attitude. Even Peter, who was a follower of Christ at the time, was told at one point, get thee behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. We can get in mind the things of people rather than the things of God. And be careful that we're not bringing a judgment instead of rejoicing in what God is doing. It's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. Now, one day earlier, he probably would have left his mat at that pool site if he had anywhere else to go, because he's always going to go back there trying to get a little bit of therapy. But now, he's not going to leave it back there because he's not going back there anymore. He's a new man looking for a new place to put his mat, after which he's going to live his new life. That's why he can move his mat. He's not going back to the place of therapy. Some of you have had treatments for cancer. You've had chemotherapy or radiation. And you loved the day when they said, you're cancer free. You don't have to come back here anymore. And hallelujah, what a good day that is. Or you had another issue. And maybe you had surgery of some kind. And you're going through therapy. And you got the clearance from your doctor. You are free to move about the country. Go ahead back to your life as you knew it. It's a brand new day. You feel like you've got a new lease on life. Well, let's say that you had been paralyzed for 38 years. And all of a sudden you can walk again. Where are you going to go? What would be the first place you would go to? How many would vote for Dairy Queen? Yeah, I got a few takers on that one. Well, where did the guy go? We're actually told in verse 14. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. I love the fact the first place the guy went was the temple. Now, he probably went to the temple, you know, crawled on his elbows or had somebody carry him there or something, because that's where they got the best begging money. He probably was one of the many beggars outside there. And then other parts of the day he would spend there near the pool hoping for a little bit of therapy. But this time he didn't come for a couple of coins. He came to give thanks. He didn't know who Jesus was, but he knew his healing came from God. And so the very first thing he thought of, give thanks to. Is that how you work? Is that how your system works? Something good happened. You get a check in the mail. The appointment works out. The car didn't need as much repair as you thought it did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You worked that out. I appreciate that. The first place he went, he'd been paralyzed for 38 years. And the first thing he thought of, I'm going to go thank God for what he's done in. And maybe you haven't been paralyzed. Maybe the last 38 years you haven't been paralyzed at all. That's worth thanking God for, isn't it? Lord, I appreciate it. I've been able to get out of bed and get to it every day. Jesus finds him at the temple and he says to him, see, you are well again. Again. He used to be well. But he'd been messed up for a very long time. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. That makes me think that he's in this condition because of something he did. You know, I tell my wife, you know, oh, boy, my back's hurting this morning. She'll remind me what I did the day before. You earned every bit of that. Good for you, you know. But in this particular case, I don't know. Did he get hurt committing a crime? Maybe he had a bad habit of some kind, and this was the result of. Maybe you got some bad drugs or something. And, you know, stop sinning or something worse. Now, not everybody who's suffering is suffering because of a mistake that they made. Far from the truth. So many of our people who have some kind of chronic illness or pain, they didn't do anything to earn it. Or maybe they were just making a living and something tragic happened along the way. But for this particular person, Jesus says this to him. Now, I'm a little offended if he says this to me. How about you? See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. What are you implying here? What are you implying? What Jesus said to him might have been a greater gift to the man than the healing itself. Because if the man got healed, but he remained a sinner, he'd have felt really good for what, 20 years or whatever he had left, and then he'd go to hell and burn for eternity. A lot of good that would have done him. But if he gets the message, now he's already in the temple and he's thanking God for it. And we know that bad people never go to church. People who have sinned like never go to church. We're all good people who come here, so we already got the message. Well, maybe not. But take a lesson, Jesus said. Get it right. Don't just thank God, follow God. Don't just be giddy about it. Put your life into it. Follow God from here on out. And I'm thinking, so what could be worse than being paralyzed and for 38 years? What's worse than that? Well, didn't Jesus say in another point, it's better to go into heaven lame than to be healthy and go to hell? It's better to go to heaven with one bad eye, blind, than be able to see 20/20 and go into hell. So, buddy, you got healed and you're really enjoying that. God bless you, but get the point of it. Something worse happens when we don't follow Christ. There's an awful lot of healthy people. There are a lot of people who got really good health. A lot of wealthy people. They're living the good life. But they're missing the point of it all. And then there are a lot of people who are suffering this morning. They've been in pain for a very long time. They've been to doctors. They've been to therapy sessions. They spent a lot of money. They spent a lot of time. And they're no better. But they have Christ as their hope. And there's going to be a day when Jesus calls their name and they're going to jump up and they're going to fly. And they're not going to have any more pain. There's not going to be any more misery. And while the rest of us are in heaven worshiping God, they're going to be doing laps. They're going to be worshiping God, all right, but they're going to be on the outskirts of the big crowd. They're just going, woohoo! Hallelujah, it doesn't hurt anymore, and this is wonderful. There's a greater hope than, I hope I feel better one of these days. There is a worse fate than being crippled. There's a worse fate than dying. You need to learn how to walk straight. Jesus can do for and in us what cannot be done. We cannot do ourselves or others cannot do for us. You may have been to every doctor there is. You may have been to specialists. You may have tried this therapy and that medicine and everything else. And I'm trying. I did everything they told me to do and it just got worse. Well, God bless you. Keep following Jesus Christ. It may happen in this life. He can, in a moment, dismiss all illness, pain, disease, whatever. But we know that there is coming a day. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Maybe you lose hope and faith in the medical profession and this clinic or that trial or what have you. As long as you have Jesus, you have hope. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And although others might have the whole world, but they've lost their soul, you've gained your soul. And you'll have so much more than this world can afford. Would you stand with me when I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me?
How He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me.
serve a good God. Life gets hard, but God is always good. And whether we're healthy and strong today and going on like a raging bull, or whether we're flat on our back today and could just join us online, God is with us. He loves us and He cares. Listen to what He's saying today. You might be expecting Him to say one thing. He might be calling you to something else. Oh, Lord, I could never. Oh, don't say never to God. Don't say never to God. Father, thank You for Your word. I appreciate, Lord, that in all those people in Jerusalem, there were movers and shakers and wealthy people, and you made your way over to a place where the disabled people were. You waded through them and you found a fellow who had been ill for so very long. There wasn't anything he could have done for you in that. You didn't even tell him who you were at first. But you cared, you loved him, you heard his story, and you changed his life forever. Lord God, here we are, and our loved ones too. When we face those times, when we're sitting in the ER and we're waiting for our name to be called and it just hurts so bad, when we're trying to get an appointment and they say it's really serious, but nobody's listening, they're not letting us in. When things seem so out of reach, so out of touch, You are here with us. Hallelujah. Forgive us for our fear, for our anxieties over it. Help us to have faith, Lord, to reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You're never too busy to hear our heart's cry. We reach out to You right now, God. I pray, Lord, for folk who are in homes, people who are confined to houses or rooms or beds, Lord, that they will feel Your touch, that they will know Your care, and that we will be reminded, Lord, please help us not to be remiss, but to remember the people You've put into our lives, that just because they're out of sight, may they not be out of mind. Help us to write the card, to make the call, to pay the visit, to look them in the eye, to care, to listen to that story again, and just to love on them for a little while. And Lord, should it ever come to the point where it's our turn to be the confined one, help us, Lord, to receive it with thanksgiving, receive it with love, receive it in faith, knowing that even there, You will be with us and we'll have all that we need. In Jesus' name we pray together. And everybody said, Amen.